Hello, Fiona Ritchie with you. Welcome to The Thistle and Shamrock, which launched as a national radio show 30 years ago. Joseph MacDonald's Jig, The Snuff Wife and The Thief of Lochaber, all from Battlefield Band and the 1980 album Home is Where the Van Is. That was the very first track I played in 1981 when I tentatively took to the live airwaves locally in Charlotte, North Carolina. That first radio broadcast became The Thistle and Shamrock, nationally heard across the US since June 1983, 30 years ago. Hello and welcome to The Thistle and Shamrock. I'm Fiona Ritchie and over the next hour we'll be hearing a selection of traditional Celtic folk music. Most of this music will be from Scotland and Ireland, although later on we'll also have an opportunity to hear some music from another Celtic land, Wales.
And that's how the first show sounded. Who was that wee girl? Battlefield Band still going strong too, albeit with a different cast of characters these days. But back in the day, I went to visit a founder member of the band, Alan Reid, and he was my very first radio interview.
I was with a couple of friends at New Year. They're well known for having a wee bit of a sing-song, especially at New Year. And of course they broke into Braw Lads of Gala Water. And it was the same song, but it was sung very differently from the way in which you sung it.
Did they sing it fast?
Yes, they sang it fast, and they also had a little bit of a da 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 at the beginning, which is totally different from the way.
It was a fox hunt.
I think it was.
Alan Reid and me chatting in the town of Kirkintilloch over 30 years ago. And, well, I've upgraded my equipment since those days, I hope you've noticed. Anyway, I thought it would be great to mark the 30-year anniversary of the Thistle and Shamrock by catching up with him again. So whether you were with me or not 3 decades ago, join me now for a visit with Alan Reid. At this point, we both chime in and say neither of us has changed.
Absolutely, and neither you have. I've got the slightly whiter hair and slightly less hair, and a lot less hair, but you look exactly the same.
I feel exactly the same. Well, you know, that was over 30 years ago.
You're joking. Well, I believe you.
And I was also remembering, as I was coming here, throwing a very tiny little pack of equipment into my handbag, of a really tiny recording device and a small microphone and a tiny notepad even. I was remembering that the equipment that I used to lug around was like something out of a museum.
Yeah, you could you'd probably stick it in the back of your van or something.
It was all to do with reel-to-reel tapes and, of course, cassettes and pretty ropey borrowed equipment, I think, that was probably circa 1950. But anyway, there's been lots of other changes across the 30 years, let's say, not just in equipment and of course, in the radio business, which has changed so dramatically. But certainly, you know, when you look back to when we first spoke and you were with Battlefield Band and recording, making vinyl record albums, of course, to where things are at now, of course, we're onto CDs, downloadables. The whole music industry has changed enormously, in ways we could never have imagined when we first met up.
That's right, and music has become much more accessible to people through the internet. People can now access music they, you know, years ago they probably didn't even know existed. So in that sense, it is completely different, and people can make albums in their bedroom, basically, mm-hmm. and really, you know, very well produced albums, whereas before, you know, you were getting into a studio for, I think our first album was made in 2 days and mixed the third day, you know. And nowadays you can spend, you know, a couple of days on a track. So it's completely different.
We're talking about 30 years of this radio programme, but you were with Battlefield Band, I believe, for over 30 years. And when we first met, the band was established, well established, in Scotland and around the UK and also on an international touring circuit. Things were growing apace, I think, when we first met, and there were many more albums to be recorded yet.
Absolutely, and I guess maybe a wee bit of your radio programme, Fiona, we didn't envisage that it could go on so long. Certainly that I would still be playing music at what seemed like then to be the very old age that I am now.
Yeah, we were actually young then when we first met, but we didn't think we were young. And now we're older and we don't think we're older.
That's right, yeah. I you know, the age I am now, I've got a bus pass here. Which is free travel for over 60s folks on buses in all over Scotland. I would have thought, gosh, ancient, wow. Thank you.
To those early days, as I said, Alan Reid with Battlefield Band playing keyboards, which would have been a relatively newcomer of a musical influence into the music.
I started to play electronic keyboards at the end of the 70s, and that was regarded as pretty radical in those days, in the late 70s. That's when things like synthesizers became affordable. Mm-hmm. And mass-produced, and at the same time we started incorporating the bagpipes into the band as well. We weren't the first, but we were among the first, and we really, I would say, went gung-ho in terms of experimentation and trying new things. So it was very much an exciting time where we really felt we were breaking new ground, and we were. And in tandem with that, we had Brian McNeil starting to write songs. And when he started to write songs, he wrote two or three songs, and this opened up a new avenue for us and made us, I think, different from other bands at that time. And I thought to myself, well, if he can write songs, maybe I can as well. So I started doing it slowly and tentatively at first, Brian was very helpful and critical at the same time in encouraging me. So the band, I feel, certainly in the early to mid-80s, was a hotbed of trying new things, new sounds, new arrangements. We were very, very keen on making very sophisticated pieces of music and song. And I regard writing songs as a craft. I think you have to work at it.
And you seemed to have an approach to songwriting. It was very much about telling a story or looking at a particular time frame or movement of people or something that you wanted to kind of explore and get inside of and capture. I think about your song, The Dear Green Place, about Glasgow and the changes through the centuries of Glasgow, or The Green and the Blue, about the exchanges of people and cultures between Scotland and Ireland.
I've never studied history, but you know, through reading, I've found stories, especially in Scotland, that have interested me, and I've thought, wow, that would make a really good story. The first song that the band did was the Dear Green Place, the one that you mentioned, which was a history of Glasgow. And when I think about it now, to try and write a 1,200 year history of Glasgow in 3 or 4 minutes is ridiculous, really. But I thought, hey, why not? And I had a go. But I think I maybe kind of honed in on smaller stories since that time.
It was by the clear Molendiner Burn, where it meets and runs with the River Clyde, and they tell the tale of the Holy One, who was fishing down by the river's side. A holy man from Fife he came, his name they say was Kentigern, and by the spot where the fish was caught, the Dear Green Place was born. Now the salmon ran through the river stream, and they salted them by the banks of Clyde, and the faces glowed as the silver flowed, and the place arose by the river's side. There was cloth to dye and hose to buy, the traders came from all around, and they
they raised a glass to the dear green place, the place that was a town. There is a town that once was green, and a river flowed to the sea. The river flows forever on, but the dear green place is gone. When the furnaces came to fire the iron, and folk were thrown from the far of land, then the Irishman and the Highlandman and the hungry man came with willing hands. They wanted work, a place to live, their empty bellies needed filled, and the farm yard was another world from the dirty, overcrowded mill. Now you may have heard of the foreign trade and fortunes made by tobacco lords, but the working man slaved his life away, and an early grave was his sole reward. A dreary room, a crowded slum, disease and hunger everywhere, and the price to pay was another day, and fight the anger and despair. There is a town that once was green, and the river flowed to the sea. The river flows forever on, but the dear green place is gone. A thousand years have been here and gone since Kentigern saw the banks of Clyde. How many dreams and how many tears in a thousand years of a city's life. A city hard, a city proud, a no mean city it has been. Perhaps tomorrow it yet may be the dear green place again. There is a town that once was green, and a river flowed to the sea. The river flows forever on, but the dear green place is gone.
There were quite a few changes in lineup. Individuals left and others came in, and but you were at the backbone of the band from its very beginnings right up until I think about 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the band started in 1969. We were students at in Strathclyde University in Glasgow, and Brian started the band with a couple of other friends, and I joined Mark II, it was, and I stayed, yeah, till 2010. For most of that time, I was quite happy to be not at the forefront of the band, being the kind of like supporting a musician, because I wasn't as extrovert as some of the other characters in the band. When I think about it, it's quite astonishing, really, to be in a band that length of time and to have played with so many different musicians. A few years ago, I was kind of thinking about it, and I thought, well, you know, I've been in a lot of bands, but they're all called Battlefield Band because there's so many people that have come and gone, which doesn't say... People might think, well, what's up with him? People don't stick around.
Some of these lineups did hang around together for quite a long time, but you just were there as a constant. Did you ever get the feeling that you couldn't leave, because if you left, there would be no Battlefield Band, or people wouldn't connect it with what it had always been? Did you feel a wee bit pressure that you really should stay, even after so many years?
No, I think it's more the kind of character that I am, Fiona, that I'm a fairly placid guy, and I don't really like change for change's sake. And I always felt as well that as long as I still had a feeling that there was more music to be made in Battlefield Band, that there was always something to look forward to, then that kept me motivated. And also the changes in the band in a very real sense reinvigorated the band each time we had a change. So although it was disruptive in one sense, it was also very encouraging when people came in enthusiastic, want to be in this established band. So that all helped. But there came a point 2 or 3 years ago where I thought, well, I've really done everything I want to do in this band, and I'm getting on a wee bit, so if I want to do something different, I better do it now.
I'll buy you a penny worth of preens, if that be the way true love begins. If you'll gang along with me, my dear, if you'll gang along with me.
You can hear your penny worth of preens, though that be the way true love begins. For I'll never gang with you, my dear, I'll never gang with you.
I'll buy you a brass snuff box, 9 times opened, 9 times locked. If you'll gang along with me, my dear, if you'll gang along with me.
You can hear your brass snuff box, 9 times open, 9 times locked. For I'll never gang with you, my dear, I'll never gang with you.
I'll buy you a silken goon, with 9 stripes up and 9 stripes down. If you'll gang along with me, my dear, if you'll gang along with me.
You can hear your silken goon, we 9 stripes up and 9 stripes down. For I'll never gang with you, my dear, I'll never gang with you.
I'll buy you a 9-string bell, take all your maid whene'er you will. If you'll gang along with me, my dear, if you'll gang along with me.
You can keep your 9-string bell, take all my maid whene'er I will. For I'll never gang with you, my dear, I'll never gang with you.
I'll give you a crystal gold to comfort you when you are old. If you'll gang along with me, my dear, if you'll gang along with me.
These are fine words you say, so meant to plot you for one the day. I'll gang along with you, my dear, I'll gang along with you.
I'll grip ye hard and fast, hold one your virgin heart at last. And I'll no part with you, my dear, I'll never part with you.
And as they were galloping along, the cold wind carried a mournful song. I rue a come with you, she says, I rue a come with you. I rue a come with you, she says, I rue a come with you.
Ah, Alan Reid and Corinne Polwart when their paths crossed in Battlefield Band over a decade ago with The Devil's Courtship. We're spanning three decades as we reminisce and share music with my guest Alan Reid, helping me mark 30 years of the Thistle and Shamrock. Glad you're with us, and there's more to come, more too online at thistleradio.com. Join us here first, then there. This is NPR. Fiona Ritchie, still with you after all these years. My guest is Alan Reid, who played for decades with Battlefield Band. Who do you think he was talking about here?
It was her first interview, so she was a wee bit nervous, you know, worried about whether she'd be able to ask the right questions, worried about whether the tape recorder would work and get the levels and that kind of thing.
Well, that was Alan on BBC Radio Scotland remembering my first interview with him. It was over 30 years ago, and we're marking that journey by tracing Alan's musical life since that nervy first interview. So I asked Alan about his world travels.
I remember way back at the very beginning, coming from Glasgow, the idea of playing in Edinburgh, the other side of the country. I mean, that was really exciting. And then the first time we went down to England, gosh, that was really exciting. We're leaving Scotland. Wow, I wonder what they'll think of us down there. Or the first time that we went to Europe, I think it was, well, in fact, it was a festival in Brittany. And then coming to the US, that was really exciting. Going to Australia was really exciting. And so with each new place, new horizons then opened up. And, you know, I still have ambitions to play in places I haven't been to. I haven't been to South America yet. And there are five US states I haven't played in. And I want to tick them off.
So that's what it's all about. You're actually a collector.
Or a hoarder.
Right, what states in America have you not played in?
Neither of the Dakotas. North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Mississippi, and Arkansas.
Okay, point noted.
You see, I barely hesitated there.
We've now broadcast that, so we will give people an opportunity to issue invitations at some point.
I'm talking to folk in Little Rock at the moment.
Well, all those years of touring with Battlefield Band, as you say, came to a natural conclusion, but it didn't stop you obviously making music. It didn't stop you travelling with your music, and you formed new partnerships. I'm thinking specifically with Rob Van Sant, and it's been much more of a song-based musical life.
Yeah, well, I started the duo with Rob quite a few years before I left the band, and part of my rationale for that was that I'd written not a huge amount, but a fair amount of songs for the band. And when a new album came out, the old album would be pretty much jettisoned and we'd play the new album. And after a while, after about 20 albums, I thought, there's a few songs that I've written and we don't sing them anymore and nobody else is doing them. So I'd like to do them. So I started a duo with Rob and we initially started doing that. And then we thought, why don't we make an album? So we made an album and I contributed some songs to that. And then we made another album. That was one of the reasons I decided at a certain point I should leave the band and concentrate more on songs, because that's what I felt I was best at. And also, you know, playing with Battlefield Band, great as it was, I was maybe only getting two or three, maybe four songs a night, a couple of which would be my own, and I wanted to perform more of my songs live. So that was a kind of egotistical, but at the same time thinking, well, this is the avenue I want to go down now.
Slips under the horizon, and the fishing boat is heading out to sea. There's a long white beam sweeping all across the ocean that was tended once by someone just like me. In the fog and the wet and windy weather, it's a beacon that has shone by night and day. And in calm or storm, when that fishing boat returns, the steadfast light will guide it on its way. When the wild winds blow along the coastline, in this rugged land no one has ever tamed. The fisherman, the ferryman, the sailor, thank the Lord for the keeper of the flame, the keeper of the flame. I'm the last in an unbroken line of lighthouse keepers, my father and his father worked them too. And I've served my time from the Solway to the Shetlands by myself and sometimes with a crew. I've seen the sullen ocean pound so scary, at the Bell Rock made acquaintance with the seal, at the Firth of Larne I've got up to check the horn, or to see if there's a lobster in the creel. When the wild winds blow along the coastline, in this rugged land no one has ever tamed. The fisherman, the ferryman, the sailor, thank the Lord for the keeper of the flame, the keeper of the flame. There are those who'd contend that the lighthouse is a prison, and the solitude in exile too severe. But I felt quite content in my tower of isolation, far removed from all trouble, stress and care. But this world is rushing on with automation, and there's no need for a lighthouse to be manned. In the summertime I locked the door and I bade virile farewell. I was the last lighthouse keeper in the land. When the wild winds blow along the coastline, in this rugged land no one has ever tamed. Though the light will still be shining o'er the water, it's farewell to the keeper of the flame, the keeper of the flame. La 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 la
And with Rob, you've explored collections of songs that take us into the lives of different interesting historical characters. You've got a collection of The Adventures of John Paul Jones, which again allows you to explore your interest in history through song.
I'd started writing about John Paul Jones quite a few years ago. It was going to be mooted as a band concept album, but I was the only one that got fired up with it. I decided, well, if the boys don't want to do it, then I'm going to go ahead anyway, because I got hooked on the story. It's a great story, an amazing story, and it covers not just the Scotland and the US, but France and Russia. John Paul Jones was born in the south of Scotland, and he was a young, successful merchant skipper between the north of England and the West Indies. And he ended up in America on the run, having accidentally killed a crewman, found himself penniless in the US. He had a brother in Virginia who he had gone to sea but died, and he ended up joining the fledgling Continental Navy at the outset of the Revolutionary War. He then subsequently, because he was a bit of a nuisance, but a very successful captain, he was sent over to France to serve under Benjamin Franklin, and made two attacks on the British coastline, which caused hysteria and havoc. And he became a hero for the Americans as a morale booster. And later on, after America, after the war was finished, he was unemployed, and he was recruited by the Empress Catherine of Russia and helped get rid of the Turks from the Crimea. And he died alone in Paris just after the French Revolution. And his body lay undiscovered for 100 years, then was dug up, encased in alcohol, perfectly preserved, and shipped over to Annapolis to great acclaim. And as I say, he was a symbol of the American Revolution, and his remains are now in the US Navy's headquarters in Annapolis, in a crypt. And he also wrote down qualities about a naval officer in the US Navy, and that America should have a big peacetime navy for its own security. So for a brief while, he was a celebrated and infamous and notorious character in the 18th century, because the Brits regarded him as a traitor.
You've given up trying to tell a whole story like that in one song now. You allow yourself 15, and so you start with the Gairdner's Son and finish off with the Chevalier, and all the way in between we learn about his amazing life.
That's right, and I realised as well, Fiona, that if you played a track here or a track there, it wouldn't make any sense, because it would just be a bit one wee part of his life. When we brought out the album last year, I got in touch with an arts festival in Dumfriesshire, where he was born, and we did a couple of shows there, and I wrote a script for an actress. She linked the songs, so the story is told through her taking on different characters that comment on the action, and then they're interspersed with the songs, because I thought if you just sang the songs in sequence, again, it would be, what's he talking about now? Who is that guy? You know, what battle is that? What's all that about?
Sharp, get wife, for yonder's coming Mr. Paul the Gairdner. I hear his John is safely hame and fresh frae his adventure. They say he's no stopped talking since he left Whitehaven Harbour, and knew he's back in Galloway to bide here for the winter. Good day to you now, Mr. Paul, I hear your sons are grants, sir, for Willie bides in Fredericksburg in business as a tailor. I hear young John met up with him when he was in Virginia. He's just a lad of 14 years, but faith, he's quite the sailor. He saw the sunset on the Spanish main, the stars around the full Virginia moon. He's just a lad of 14 years, but faith, he's quite the sailor. ¶¶
Wife, I've just been told to young John Paul, the merchant sailor. He's only 21, and yet already he's a master. He kens his business weel, it seems, but oh, he has a temper, and that has brought him grief on his last voyage to Granada. I hear he flogged young Maxwell Boy for insolent behaviour, and sailing him, the young lad died expiring from a fever. They flung John in Kirkcupery jail, accused by Maxwell's father. His bail is paid, but surely grieves the widow o' the gairdner. His friends have written fee the Spanish main. They tell the law that John was no to blame. And wi' a handshake, he's a war, and kept intact his honour. Fine wheel ye can get, wife, I'm no a yin for idle chatter. The latest on the Gairdner's son, he's been accused of murder. Last year he felled a mutineer who perished on his rapier, and he has fled the Windward Isles whilst he joined his brother. Tempers rising on the Spanish main, cries for blood, a native man is slain. John Paul, it seems, has disappeared. He's maybe in Virginia.
Well, I thought when I marked the 30-year point of national broadcast for my radio show that I should come back to my roots with the programme, and that involved coming and talking to you, because really my interview with you and my radio programme I made with you way back then are really where a lot of it began for me as well.
Absolutely, and I remember getting the phone call from Robin Morton. There's a girl who wants to interview you, you know, she's from North Carolina, so I was expecting a southern drawl to enter my house, but here it was a lassie fi Greenock.
Well, I thought I would spring this on you, actually. I was digging around and found these.
Oh gosh, this is... Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. Black and white photographs, ladies and gentlemen. What a pose. Me and Brian McNeil back-to-back, kidding on, we're rock stars. Oh, geez, these are mean and moody. is this
in Charlotte?
Oh gosh, yes, we really are so extrovert. It's embarrassing.
I think this is the era of you playing a keyboard as if it's a guitar.
Yes, it was a little handheld keyboard called an SH-101, which we christened Shuggy, and I've got it upstairs as well. I'm thinking if I keep it for another 30 years, it'll be worth money as an antique. So,
what do you have here?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I can't really describe these on the radio. They're just a folk band thinking they're a rock band with a kilt and a bagpipe. You know, that's bizarre. I always think it's strange someone wearing a kilt playing a guitar. It just doesn't look right. Have you ever noticed that?
I think it looks okay.
Well, you're a woman. And maybe that's got something to do with it.
Well, over 30 years for you playing Battlefield Band, I think over 40, over 30 albums, over 30 years for this radio programme. Where do you see all this evolving now? Do you see an interesting direction for it all?
I'm just happy to be able to still do what I'm doing, to be still healthy, and withstand the rigours of touring, and still have an interest and a hunger for travelling and playing. So as long as I have that feeling and enjoy the wonderful feedback that you get from playing live, the exhilaration, the terror, of the whole gamut of emotion that is playing in front of an audience, then... One more of that drug.
Well, over 30 years ago, and I interviewed you with all that massive amount of clunky old audio equipment, and here I am now with this miniature little digital recorder and tiny wee microphone. Maybe next time I interview you in years to come, we'll be doing it by telepathy.
Yeah, or we'll be looking at an image of each other through a screen on the wall that contacts with your wall. When you're actually talking to the wall, it's actually meaningful.
Alan Reid, it's a great pleasure to meet up with you again, personally, but also for you to come back on the programme after all these years. It does kind of bring it all full circle, and it's amazing to think of all the miles you've travelled in between times, all the people you've reached with your music on the radio and also in person all over the world. So, lang me your limerick.
Well, I think we should congratulate each other. Well done, Fiona. Good job.
Well done, Alan.
Ah, cheers. Thanks.
You've always got your bus pass.
I've always got my bus pass.
They came at dawn from out the darkness, swords and torches in their hands. They said it was the chieftain's orders, clear the hillsides and the glens. No more we'd smell the broom and the heather, share the bannock with our kin. Be laid to rest beside our father. It almost broke our hearts and minds to board the ship of tears, to board the ship of tears. We crossed the sea to flee the hunger, wasted rags of skin and bone. The fields we left were black and barren, a ravaged land no longer home. The coffin ships were filled with mourning, we'd one last look back to the land. The quiet men, the women keening, it almost broke our hearts and minds to leave the fields of tears. Leave the fields of tears. They came in floods and covered wagons, drove across our ancient lands. They set to scorn our elders' wisdom, take the path their Lord commands. They stole our hills, they stole our rivers, the Mother Earth with whom we're joined. They led us from our spirit fathers. It almost broke our hearts and minds to walk the trail. The trail. Walk the trail. The trail of tears. They came in hordes across the desert, storms of dust that sear the skin. They said they'd come for our oppressor, they would make a meal of him. They said that we would air our freedom and come to their way is right. But still we weep and we are bleeding. They have not won our hearts and minds. We're on the road of tears. We're on the road. Thank you.
Road of Tears from Battlefield Band's album by the same name, written and sung by my guest Alan Reid, who helped set the ball rolling for my radio career when he gamely agreed to do my very first radio interview. Thanks to Alan for agreeing to do it all over again to mark 30 years of the Thistle and Shamrock, which comes to you from Scotland. It's a Thistle Radio production. Great that we can now offer you programme playlists updated each week at our website at thistleradio.com. But if you want to write for old time's sake, our address is the Thistle and Shamrock, P.O. Box 518, Matthews, North Carolina 28106. And remember, self-addressed stamped envelopes. It'd be great if you could send one too. You don't have to wait another 30 years to hear Alan Reid. You can hear this radio show again at our Listen Again page online, where you'll also find our 24/7 music channel. It's all easy to locate at thistleradio.com. Whether you've been with me through the years, or maybe you just caught me for the first time this week, thanks for being the most important part of any radio programme, the one who listens. Thanks to all my friends at public radio stations, to NPR, to Margaret Kennedy at our US Thistle office, and my family here in Scotland who tolerate my odd working hours. Thanks again to Alan Reid, and once again to you. I'm Fiona Ritchie. Join me again in our fourth decade. Music and more on the web at thistleradio.com. The Thistle and Shamrock radio programme is a service mark of Fiona Ritchie. Support for NPR comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. The Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture, poetryfoundation.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR Music.